Radio Prague News.
The lower house of parliament has approved a draft legislation that abolishes the military zone in Brdy. Inspections of Czech munitions depots carried out by the Ministry of Interior have uncovered several shortcomings, and the Czech authorities have confirmed earlier reports of the death of a British national who went missing in Prague in November. The lower house on Friday approved draft legislation that abolishes the Brdy military zone, an area southwest of Prague. The draft law also reduces the area of other military zones in the Czech Republic. Defence Minister Martin Stropnický said the army did not need such a large area, which was originally designed for some 115,000 soldiers, since troop numbers have dropped to some 21,000. If the bill is approved by the Senate, the army will release some 40,000 hectares out of the total of 130,000. Inspections of Czech munitions depots carried out by the Ministry of Interior have uncovered several shortcomings. The inspection follows a crisis at a munitions storage site in Vrbětice, eastern Moravia, that was damaged by a powerful blast in mid-October, succeeded by a series of uncontrolled explosions over the next 2 months. According to Interior Minister Milan Chovanec, none of the shortcomings poses a threat to the people living in the vicinity of the depots. The lower house on Friday has held an extraordinary meeting over the recent explosions. The police announced that its has organized crime unit will also be involved in the investigation. The Czech authorities have confirmed earlier reports of the death of a British national who went missing during a stag weekend in the Czech capital on the 15th of November. Karl Law, 34, disappeared on the 15th of November during a visit to Prague with 12 others. His body was recovered from the Vltava River last Sunday. His identity has already been confirmed by Great Britain's Foreign Office. The Slovak police have confirmed that the white powder sent to the Czech embassy in Bratislava, Slovakia, was a toxic substance. The envelope was allegedly sent from Sweden. Police President Tibor Gaspar told the media that they were cooperating on the case with the Czech authorities. In recent weeks, a number of Czech institutions have received similar envelopes. Two envelopes sent from Sweden and Slovenia were found to contain poison. Others, such as the one sent to Prague Castle, contained a harmless powder. Security has been stepped up at all public institutions in the country. A two-day summit of Central European presidents continues in Prague on Friday with a debate on energy infrastructure, specifically gas pipelines. On Tuesday, the heads of state of Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland, Hungary, Austria and Slovenia called for the establishment of a European investment fund in support of a large infrastructure project. The first day of the summit was devoted to rail and road links in Central Europe. The visiting presidents also attended the opening of an exhibition on the Danube-Odra-Elbe channel project, which Czech President Miloš Zeman has long promoted. The CIA's brutal interrogation of people suspected of terrorism is unacceptable, regardless of the circumstances under which it was carried out, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek told the Czech news agency through his spokesman on Friday. Mr. Zaorálek made the comment in reaction to a U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee report this week on the brutal practices used by the country's intelligence services. Some international NGOs say that the Czech Republic has taken part in covert CIA programs by providing an airport for transfers. My name is Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, a European court rules against Czech women challenging an effective ban on home births in this country. We'll have a roundup of this week's Czech business news and previously unknown sketches, drawings and handwritten letters by Karel Čapek are discovered in Prague. All that's coming up in today's programme. The European Court of Human Rights has ruled against two Czech women seeking to challenge national legislation that effectively bans home births with midwives serving as formal medical assistants. The petitioners argue that the Czech law violated their human rights, a claim rejected by the court, and they're now planning to appeal the verdict. Dominic Yoon reports.
The two women, Sharka Dubska and Alexandra Krejzova, wanted to give birth at home, but found themselves unable to secure the services of professional midwives. The reason was a 2012 Act on Medical Services, which threatened such assistants with major fines should they fail to secure the necessary formal approvals. Not one such approved midwife exists at present in the country. Thus, critics argue, home births are effectively forced to be conducted in more risky environments, lacking professional supervision. The women petitioned the European Court of Human Rights, specifically citing Article 8, which includes respect for one's private and family life, but the court ultimately rejected their claim, noting that no Europe-wide regulation on home births was in effect, meaning the Czech Republic's laws on the matter remain in force. Sharka Dubska decided to give birth at home after she had a negative experience in a hospital where her first baby was delivered. She argues that the 2012 change in home birth legislation has created major new hurdles for women seeking to give birth at home.
We have the examples of some Western countries where the system works well. It worked well for us too, albeit on a very small scale. But now unnecessary obstacles have been placed in front of home birth assistants. I think they should be supported, educated, their numbers increased. And only then the legislature could basically signal that it is okay to give birth at home. Not that it is banned now, but the help at home is missing, and that is a shame.
Critics of home births in the Czech Republic, as well as the authorities, have welcomed the verdict. Štěpánka Čechová is the spokesperson for the Ministry of Health.
The Ministry of Health takes note of the ruling by the European Court of Human Rights. We will now set about analyzing the legal implications of this ruling, and only once we have fully familiarized ourselves with the details, we will be commenting further. Nonetheless, the Ministry of Health is satisfied with the existing legislation regarding this issue. It also continues to maintain that with respect to the delivery of medical services, it is crucial to secure the maximum possible safety for both the mother and the newborn.
The verdict has reopened a debate on the issue among experts and politicians. Supporters of home births now hope that at some point the existing legislation will be amended to allow professional midwives to assist women who want to give birth at home.
That report was by Dominic Yoon. Now I'm joined by Jan Richter for a roundup of this week's Czech business news.
In an annual joint report, the Czech Finance Ministry and the Czech National Bank have recommended that the government does not set a date for adopting the euro, the news agency ČTK reported on Friday. The report also advises against entering the European Exchange Rate Mechanism, or ERM2. With the exception of participating in the mechanism, the Czech Republic last year met all the requirements for euro adoption, a move envisaged by the country's accession treaty with the European Union. However, top Czech officials say the earliest day the country could join the eurozone is around the year 2020.
The Czech budget for 2015, which was approved by lawmakers this week, has come under fire from the opposition as well as a number of analysts. The budget's projected deficit should not exceed 100 million crowns, or around 3% of GDP. And Finance Minister Andrej Babiš said the gap could be even lower. However, leaders of the opposition Topo 9 and Civic Democrat parties, as well as several analysts, have criticized the budget as insufficiently ambitious, arguing the deficit is too high for a period of economic growth. Some commentators have also been critical of the fact that only 35 billion crowns were earmarked for science and research. That's 5 billion crowns less than in the years of the economic downturn.
The Czech Republic will this year fail to draw some 20 billion crowns from EU funds, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka told the lower house on Thursday. By the end of September, over 85% of the EU structural funds allocated for the Czech Republic this year had been drawn, with some 84 billion crowns yet to be paid out. The affected programs include environment, research and development for innovations, and Prague adaptability. The Czech Republic is the least successful of all member states in drawing EU funds. The Czech Regional Development Ministry estimates that over the entire financial period of 2007 to 2013, the country will fail to draw 40 out of the 700 billion crowns allocated.
Sales of spirits in the Czech Republic have returned to levels registered in 2011. That's before the country was hit by a major bootleg liquor scandal. Stok Pilsen, the country's leading spirits producer, told the Czech news agency. Spirit sales dropped after dozens of people died in 2012 following the consumption of methanol-laced alcohol. The authorities then introduced a temporary ban on sales of spirits and tightened the rules for selling alcohol. Stok's manager said that sales this year have increased by between 7 and 8%, mainly in the cheaper spirits segment. The increase has been attributed to a decline in the black market in spirits and the growth of the Czech economy.
And around 200,000 foreign tourists are expected to spend Christmas and New Year in the Czech capital, according to estimates by the Prague City Tourism Agency. Some 120,000 visitors spent the final days of 2013 in the capital. A marked decline in the numbers of Russian tourists will be compensated by increased numbers of visitors from Germany, China and South Korea, the agency said. In total, nearly 5.9 million foreigners visited Prague last year, mainly Germans, Russians, Brits and Italians.
Specialists have been conducting an extensive inventory of items at the Prague villa that was once owned by writer Karel Čapek and his brother Josef. Included on the list is a trove of original sketches, drawings and handwritten letters found in a secret safe, and this came to light only this week. Jan Wellinger spoke to Hassan Zahirovic, an expert on Čapek's work who's taking part in the project, about the documents as well as his own fascination with the author of War with the Newts.
Karel Čapek, he's been my greatest author for years. While I was in Bosnia and Herzegovina, my country, I've been into Karel Čapek, of course, a lot. And then doing my post-graduation study in the Czech Republic, I was more and more involved, and I am, not just was, more involved into the life and the definitely first work of brothers Čapek. Of course, as I said, a big honor for me when Prague 10, who bought villa last year, offered me such an opportunity to work with a great team by Národní památkový ústav or National Heritage team of the Czech Republic. You know, the villa and all interior looks like Karel Čapek really left it yesterday, and it's almost next year is going to be 90 years of the time when Karel Čapek and his brother Josef start to live in a villa. Especially the second part and the last floor of the villa, the third floor where is a work room and a room of Patečníci who were the first intellectuals of the Czech Republic at that time, in the period between the two world wars. Especially this part is really the same as Karel Čapek left it yesterday.
That includes original furniture, artwork, and so on?
Right. As I heard, till 2008, while there used to live Sonja Šajnplugova, who was the mother of the last owner of the villa, and she even forbid the visitors to even take photos of the villa. So some of the paintings were sold because, of course, it was private. But anyway, all furnitures, decorations, so on, are really after Karel Čapek. And there is no doubt about 70% of the things dating to Karel Čapek or his wife, Olga Šajnplugova.
It really strikes me as remarkable because I can't think of a similar incident when it would be reported that something would be so well kept throughout the years that it would be untouched. Is that anything
right.
You've ever come across in your experience?
I guess, you know, his wife knew at that time that the house definitely was going to be a great museum for the Czech history. And I think Olga Šajnplugova, after Karel Čapek's death, in some point left all those things, begging the people after her to really take care of the things. She used to live there from 1938 till 1960 and something. And so I think she really wanted to people to leave most of the things in the villa, as she took care of those things after Othar's death.
The biggest news coming out in recent days is that there was an unknown safe or a secret safe which contained unknown or previously unknown letters, as well as original drawings. I'd like to ask about those.
As I said a few days ago for some interview, Karol Čapek didn't just write the detective stories. He also lived the detective's life, because there are so many tiny places in the villa, and this most precious place for us is this treasure where we found lots of handwritings left by Karol Čapek. I must say, most of those handwritings, especially the letters to Olga Scheinflugova and talking to Masaryk, they've been published a few times in the past, but the precious things about those handwritings is that they're original and they were not sold out. As it is known that most of the handwriting by Karol Čapek is somewhere. Karol Čapek didn't take care about his handwritings. So most of those handwritings were already published. But by those things or by his work that were published but not that well known are notebooks with Čapek's drawings. So we just know from his travel books the final paintings or final drawings by some countrysides or people. But as I said, we found notebooks with lots of preparation for the final drawings.
I also understand that some of the letters were from his brother at a time when he was already in a concentration camp. Could you tell me there what that material
is? Sure. You know, the population in the Czech Republic, they know that some paintings by Josef Čapek were sold from the villa. It's a private thing. But we found also a few drawings by Josef Čapek in the villa also. He not sent, but his friend from a concentration camp sent to Josef Čapek's family. That's the one thing. And the second thing, he was sending some greetings card for Easter and New Year to Olga Scheinflugova. And actually, he didn't write a thing, just sign with his nickname Pecha. But he actually wanted to say that he is alive. And I read a comment by someone on the internet that the Germans actually persuade Josef Čapek to do that. No, I had the worry in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and I was in the war 4 years, and I have so many letters by those, by my cousin who were killed, and so I really understand the point of those cards. For me, maybe it was the hardest moment in working in the villa.
What is the outline now? How long is this process going to take, and when will members of the public be able to see some of these items, or perhaps all of them, exhibited?
Wow, that's a difficult question, because we actually plan it to finish till September this year. But as the days are passing by, we found more and more things. So, and actually, the court judgment who is supposed for those things, he said, we are not in a hurry. And I mean, we are in the hurry, but in some point, it's better to take some time to really define this work in some point. As you said, it's not easy thing to do this, because you need to make the list. The first, you need to, in some point, return the things back, because we are not museums and we are not the people who are going to be responsible for the villa after we do this inventory. So I think this question would be better for Prague 10, who bought a villa, and their owners. So we are doing our best to do our work and to tell the people that Prague 10 really did a big thing to buy this villa, and in some point after, as you said, so many years to save treasure. And I'm also surprised, as a foreigner, I'm also surprised that this event, this villa, waited for so many years.
Hasan Zahirovic, an expert on the work of Karel Čapek, was talking to Jan Wellinger in this week's Arts. If you've any comments about today's programme, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.